Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone here. And we thank you for the wonderful opportunity and the privilege that you give us to teach and to understand and to receive us touching cell systems. We ask for clarity as a church. And we do not only ask for clarity, but the strength and the ability to make this a reality as you have instructed us as a ministry and as a church in Jesus' name. In this atmosphere, we receive understanding into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are going to be continuing with our discussion on the cell ministry. Last week, we took some time looking at paying attention to following God's prescribed pattern to grow loving, strong, caring, and large churches which keep growing. Okay? It's pretty much of a long title, I should believe, right? But that's what we are looking at in a whole. Okay? So, we took some time seeing that God has a module and he has a pattern to how things are run. There's a distinct style. There's a distinct module, a form. On how he wants everything running. In fact, you would clearly see that in Genesis, he's not a God of disorder, right? He puts everything in order. We saw examples of this using Moses' patterns of the anointing oil, which is the oil that's used for smearing purposes. Then we also saw the pattern of the tabernacle, right? And then we also saw, you know, the pattern for priesthood installation. And then we also saw the pattern for carrying the ark. I mean, the pattern for carrying the ark, we just brushed over it a little bit, right? So, it spoke to us greatly, isn't it? That God has a way he wants things to run. Did it speak to us? Okay, he has a way he wants things to run. And we should run it his way, not our way. Do you understand? If we were going to have his blessing, do you remember? After Moses had finished building the tabernacle, using the specific instrument that God had called him to use, and doing it according to everything that the Lord had spoken, the glory of the Lord rested on the temple. So it means that we can't just get up and say, if I look, this thing will work for the church. That's going to be dangerous. And I've never wanted to be frustrated in ministry or in life. I've never wanted to be frustrated. So, because I've never wanted to be frustrated, I've always looked out carefully for what God wants. I was not going to assume, and that's the error many people make, is that they just feel like, okay, because this is working, let's do this also. And in your life, you have to, as much as possible, reduce the assumptions. In your personal walk with God, don't assume that because you are a guy and maybe somebody just suggested something to you, it is a good idea. And so you jump in right into the idea, hoping that the idea works. When you have not inquired of God, you have not spent time to pray about it. So, we must carefully pay attention to how God wants His church running. And so we took some time looking at it carefully, just trying to establish the pattern. Do you remember that? The pattern to which the early church gathered. And we saw clearly that they had meetings, number one, in the temples. So they had gatherings in the temple. But it didn't just end at being at a meeting in the temple or a big place. There was another which we saw where these meetings were also carried out in homes. Right? So the church was more or less like it had a dual spot for running her activities. She ran her activities in the temple where there was a large gathering. Everybody gathers together. Everybody meets. Right? Yes. Then, we also saw that she also had churches. She also had meetings. The church had meetings in houses or in homes. And we see that as a very consistent pattern. Even in Paul's writings to the epistles. Paul's writings in the epistles. You see that sometimes he makes references of some churches which were actually known to be situated in homes or which met in homes. So, what that means is that we must learn to have church in the public place and also in the homes of the people. This is God's method. This is God's method. This is the pattern that we see and that we must follow. Remember, we want God's blessing on our work, right? Great. So, we must not despise it. See Acts chapter 2, verse 46. We looked at this scripture, but I'd want us to look at it again. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. In fact, as I follow God, I get wary of trying to duplicate something. No, I don't duplicate things at all. I remember, because we go for camp meetings in December, because I allow you to go for camp meetings in December. So I could say just 10 people this year are going for camp meeting. I remember that I made up my mind that I was never going to hold camp meetings in my life. I had already made up my mind because I felt, okay, there was already Pastor Prince going, holding also camp meetings so we could just go. Until the Lord Himself spoke to me. He said, camp meetings is something you have to do. So that was why I changed my mind. I was not going to do it because it's the nice thing to do. No. I'm a very okay person with whatever God tells me to do. Until that morning, He wakes me up at dawn, takes me to the place, shows me camps. He tells me, your church has a part to play in camps. That's when I knew, okay? Then start holding camp meetings. So, again, what we are looking at is because He wants us doing it, number one. And number two, it's His pattern of building His church. Right? It's His pattern of building the church. Acts chapter 2, verses 46. Acts chapter 2, verses 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Right? So the early church had what? Meetings in the temple, and they also had meetings from what? House to house. House to house. It was a normal thing. You know, we are now more like trying to adjust, right? But that was how they actually started, right? So they started from house to house, and then on weekly days, they are going to have meetings in the temples. Now, God's method, it works. It doesn't matter, you know, the pattern given us, as we see in His Word, outlives and outdates time and evolution. Alright? So before you now say that, okay, I think today we really have a busy world. No, God saw in advance also that there was going to be a busy world. Now, if we have it here, it means that it's timeless. It's ageless. We don't have to, listen to me, church. Listen, we don't have to modernize it. You see, and it's because of modernizations that we have a lot of times in the churches today. And I say this just looking at my church. I'm not looking at some other church. I don't have that authority to blame other churches or point hands at other churches. But, you know, there's a lot of modernization today. Okay, why is it we're young? So let's have a more party-like service. But we forget that those Jesus left God's word with were much younger folks. They were teenagers. So how is it that teenagers were able to, you know, preserve that life-giving word they received? And then they intelligently passed it over to generations that we read from. So when you say, oh, they are young, they need to find something very much more lively. You're not working with the scriptures. Timothy was young when he was pastoring a whole church in a whole city. So younger people then are still the same younger people today, except that there are more influences today than there was back then. But then God's word is still timeless if we stick to what God's word is saying. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? So, they had meetings in the temple. And they also had meetings from house to house. Now, look at what happens. We're reading verse 46 downwards. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now look at the result of handling it according to God's method. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do you see that? So because they're able to have that as a structure, they couldn't complain of lack of growth in the church. Oh, the church is not growing. The church is plateauing. And we must be interested. When we don't see the church growing, we must be interested as a church. Because anything that is not growing means it's not alive. At least to be alive, we must experience a certain kind of growth. And it doesn't have to be so sudden. Of course, if it's sudden, then it's quite interesting. But we must at least see progressive growth over a period of time. So as a church, we must be interested in seeing the church grow. And of course, some might try to say, oh, growth is just in the word of God being taught. Not exactly. Not only. If the word of God grows in a space, the numbers of the people multiply. So growth is, yes, the teaching of God's word in the church, which translates into having the numbers increase. We can't be here and say, oh, for a year, we are still here. Why? A year, you don't remain the same in a year. Did you understand what I'm saying? Listen, a lot of times I've seen this where sometimes as a pastor, you might try to just hide behind no growth and just hope that something will happen from somewhere. How can you be pastoring a church for 5 years and there's no growth? There's no growth. The same 25 people are the same 25 people who come. Now they are like 23. Because two have gone to school. The same 60 people. The same people, 60 people. I'm saying this because we are workers. We are going to face it squarely. Are you listening? We're not going to say, oh, everybody's going to be looking like, the same people? 2 years, the same people? 5 years, the same people? Then we are just there. No, that cannot be. So we are going to face it. I'm not going to cover anything. We are going to face it. Why is the church growing? That's a good question to ask. And why is the church not growing? Because why is it growing? Why is it not growing? Do you understand? When I was in Central University, and before I left school, in a short while, after I had handed over, I think I was able to raise like close to 40 people. In a short while, 40 people. Maybe a little even over 40 people. Because that time, there was more than 40 people. It's those 40 people who are here today. Some are not here. Some are, left to other places. But they are still here. Majority of the people who are raised are like foundational in the work that we are doing. So, you must be interested in what we are talking about. Are you listening? Now, we are not talking actually about cell ministry or the cell system and church growth. But that was just by the way. We are going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But today we are just going to look at the concept of the cell system. So, they had meetings in the temples. They also had meetings from house to house. Now, why is it called the cell system? Why is it called the cell system? Now, I'm going to relate this to science, and then we'll look at it very shortly. Those who took their integrated science seriously are going to be found being productive in the course. This one is not being a science student. Oh, SL. I mean, let's be serious. SL is not science student. This one is art student, science student. It's just integrated science. You are thinking. But it was one of the simplest definitions to give. Except what is matter. I promise you, someone doesn't remember matter after that. And the person might be a doctor or something. Matter. 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 So, Pastor, it's like I remember space, time, something. Matter. Eh? Hey. Suku. So, cell system. Now, we learned that in primary 4, primary 5, primary 6, what a cell was, right? The basic functional unit of what? Of life or any living organism, right? So, what that means is that you are whole you constitute several cells that come together to form everything that you are sitting in that chair this afternoon, are made up of what? Cells. So, if you comprise of cells, let me say a cluster of cells that come together to make all of you functional, it means that your basic form will be a cell. In your simplest form, whether your muscle, whether your tissues, whether whatever it is, they are going to be made up of cells. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, that's what it is. A cell is the basic. It's basic. It's basic in a sense that it's not seen as so prominent. But that is the reason why everything about you is running. It's basic. And it's not just basic, but as well, it's structural. It means that it runs in a certain way. And it's not just basic and structural, it is functional. It means it works to produce an effect. The smallest unit of your life that can perform all the processes necessary for living. Now, in the same way, the church cell system functions very similar to how cells work in the human body. So, we are going to be talking about the basic structure of the whole church. They're going to be cells. And they are going to be what? Basic. They are structural. It means they run in a certain way. When cells begin to multiply in unexplainable forms, what's that called? You see that? So it's like it begins to that's non-structural functioning. And you see, it's that word. So it ought to be structural. We are growing every 3 months. But the body of nobody here and anybody who will be related to anybody here says that, no, me, I want to grow in an absurd manner. Right? Then it starts to multiply. So you see that these cells come together to make sure you are functioning as you ought to. So the church cell system is that basic structural, functional unit of the church. Wow. So just as the body is strengthened by many cell groups or small cells, the church is similarly strengthened and functional by having cells. Now, of course, I'm very thankful to the initiator of the cell system, who happens to be Dr. Yonggi Cho in South Seoul. You know, he was a young man who had come up and he was trying to build a big church. And he's the one that will leave the house by Monday and come back again on Saturday. And he had a wife, and then the wife was so cross. "You don't stay at home. You don't talk to me," he said. "Oh, Chama, I'm trying to build a big church for God." Yes. I'm trying to build a big church for God. So he got himself into all of it, and he started becoming sick because he was trying to do everything his own way. He would go for evangelism on his own. He'll go for visitation on his own. He'll preach to the members on his own. And he thought the church was going to be built on him. So he got sick. And he could not get involved with any ministry activity any longer. In fact, he was dying. And then it was in that time where he was asking the Lord, what is he doing wrong? And then the Lord had to reveal to him this module. That's why I told you it's scriptural. So God had to take him through the scripture. Say, you are trying to do everything alone, but you are not called to build the church alone. The church is built by other people as well. So in that, he now repented, and then he now spoke to the people, and he told the people that God has told me that we should build the church in this way. And then the young men decided that they are not going to agree. But the ladies said that we will build the church with you. So the ladies started the cell systems in the various homes. And through ladies, the largest church was built in its time. Yes, it was built by, it was the gentleman said, no, we will not agree. But the lady said, we are going to do it. And they went to it. And it was built on house-to-house ministries. Take your seats. So you see that, I have to share that story with you so you know where it's coming from, right? So everybody else that sees that, of course, you would see it, but it's pointed back to Dr. Yonggi Cho. So, back to our scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now it means that the term house to house is now what we call cells. Are you listening? Now you don't understand why it's called a cell, because it's basic, right? Then it is structured. Then it is functioning. It means it runs. It actually runs on its own. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It runs. So, house to house meetings are what we call cells today. Now, just like the natural body, right? The cells multiply, don't they? Great. They grow, don't they? Of course, cells are also going to learn how to communicate amongst themselves. They will also support one another to have an overall healthy body. So it's the same concept. Now, the reason why I'm taking time to teach us this is that it's not going to be one of the things in the church. It's going to be the thing of the church. Right? It's going to be the main thing. We are not going to have... maybe someone might be thinking, okay, it's a new, like, something we are trying to add. No, that's how the church is going to run from whenever we start running the churches. I mean, whenever we start running this particular system. So, that's how it's going to run. It's not one of the things. It's going to be the way the church runs. It's going to be how the church runs. So in many other places, which I don't think you should be concerned about, but I'm still teaching about it, is what you hear people say, home churches, or house churches, or area fellowships, right? Or life cell groups. I mean, depending on whichever way you want to call it. So, these are, or community groups. or area outreach and fellowship ministries. It's called differently in many other denominations, but we choose to just call it a cell, right? Let's keep it the way it ought to be kept. So that means that a cell is going to be a small group meeting. Write that down. A cell is a small group meeting. A cell is a small group meeting made up of members of a particular church, which is the mother church. A cell is a small group meeting made up of members of a particular church, which is the mother church. Now, the aim of cell groups or area fellowships is to create an environment for fellowship amongst the members. You create an environment of fellowship amongst the members. Bible study. Expression of love and care amongst the members. And evangelism, which is like very important. I'm going to be on your necks. The aim of the area fellowship is to create an environment for fellowship amongst the members. Oh, when I start to teach you the benefits of the cell ministry or the cell system, you'll be so blessed. Yeah. Yeah. So, amongst the members, it's going to be Bible studies, this expression of love and care amongst the members. Then, evangelism, which is like very key in the work. We can also define a cell or area fellowship. Now you see that there are words that I'm going to be using. If you're not here, you see that when someone say, "Oh, our area fellowship or our cell," you say, "Ah, area fellowship. Since when did CFI? What is that area fellowship to?" That's why I said every worker should be here. Are you listening? Yes. So they are cells or area fellowships. So we can define these cells or area fellowships as a small group meeting of members of the same church, which takes place during the week. It takes place during the what? The week. In a house, I want to first off, you know, do it house, then we can probably massage it a bit with maybe a meeting space, right? Yeah, I think we have to make it house and meeting space. So we're going to be but more of a target. We are targeting the homes, but just in case where, you know, there's an area where it looks like the homes are not, we'll have to look for a space, right? So we said we can define a cell or an area fellowship as a small group meeting of members of the same church, which takes place during the week in a house for the purposes of fellowship, Bible study, prayer, evangelism, and showing of love and care for one another. Are you listening? Remember, I told you that what was happening here is that we're following God's method or God's prescribed pattern to building loving, right? Do we see that expression of love? Strong, do we see that? Caring, large churches which keep on what? Growing. So you see that the cells are multiplying, the cells are growing. That's what's going to happen. So the intent of this is to make sure that there is fellowship. You see, there's fellow, And then ship means there's a union that the people share amongst themselves. Right? Great. Fellowship, Bible study, prayer, evangelism, and the showing of love and care for one another. These are what makes the cell groups significant from other small groups. You see, when we have a choir, that's a small group in a church, or what we call a ministry, right? The ministry of songs, which is a choir, might have meetings, but they might not have the expression of love in there. They could have Bible study at times, occasionally. Say, oh, someone just feels like, oh, let's meet and study the Bible. But it's not frequent. It's not consistent. We could say, okay, there's a first-timers ministry. First-timers ministry. Then say, we meet to pray for first-timers. We get them filled in the Holy Ghost. That's good. But there could be an element of love that is lacking. You just belong to a ministry and that's all. You only show up because you're asked to show up. But the cell system is those small groups that we have in the church that is structural, is functional, is very basic. But then in that, you already feel like you belong to a family. Because there's going to be love. There's going to be care. You know, if we had 5,000 people gathering today as a congregation, or 10,000 people, or 22,000 people, or 25,000 people, like I said last week, you can go to church, and for 6 months, you will not know that your brother has been coming to church very frequently, yet still you don't see yourselves. It happens a lot of the times in big churches. Like, how long have you been here? Oh, Lisa, 9 months. 9 months. We didn't even know you are here. Some also say 9 years. 9 years you've been in church. Yes. So, because God does not want you in the number, He wants you belonging where you will be identified and you will be known. You'll be catered for and you'll be loved. You'll be checked up on. It's almost like I'm getting into the benefits, but that's not the benefit. The benefits are wonderful benefits. So, that means that a cell is a small group. But not all small groups in the church are cells. Because cells have a definite function. Are you listening? It's structural, it's functional. Right? You'll find love in there, you'll find care, you'll find Bible studies. And most prominently, pay attention to this, you'll find regular activities of evangelism. Regular activities of evangelism. We said they are called cells, or they are called what? Area fellowships. Are you listening? So when you say Kaspar Das, that's quite a combination of cells. Combination of cells. Now let's look at the characteristics of cells. Are you learning something? Okay, characteristics of cells. Characteristics of cells. The first characteristic of a cell is that it usually has a membership of between 6 and 15 people. I said, Christ family, if we take this thing seriously, which I believe we are going to take seriously, few months, we'll have the church triple. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you something. You look at, you will not know what is going on. I'm telling you, you see it. In a short while. I'm telling you that God blesses his methods. Take your seats and see something. So, a cell, number one characteristic of a cell is that it has a membership of between what? 6 and 15 people. So, the moment we see that the cell is approaching 15, what do? We break it and then we make it start again. I'm saying that the church is not going to run on cell as a substructure. That's how the church is going to run. Do you understand what I'm saying? Great. So, it usually has a membership of between 6 and 15 people. Now, a cell can start as minimum as 3 people in a cell. They'll meet. They'll fellowship. They'll have Bible studies. Of course, there's going to be somebody who shares the word of God, who happens to be the cell leader. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. We have quite a lot to look at. That's why I'm not pushing it so hard. Just take our time, look at it. Till we exhaust everything, there's clear understanding. Then I'll declare the day to which we are switching entirely. After that day, once the day is declared, we're not going back to any mode system. We are going to be running on cells as a church. So, the church runs on these cells. Usually having a membership of between 6 and 15 people, like I said, for a start, it could have between 3, like upward 3, 2 or 3, 2 or 3, because he's there. Right? It's just 2 or 3, and we're building the cells. We're building the cells. 15, we break off the cell. Then we move on to another. I'll talk to you about that. There are other conversations. So, why is it that we ought to break off these into these numbers? Of course, for better and effective care of the people. And yes, it's going to help the cell leader to know them well, to pray for them, to counsel them. I heard of a story where a missionary was sent to another country. And when he was sent to another country, he was looking for a venue. And so he was not finding a venue in the country. So you know what he did? He started evangelism. Now, I stumbled on this, honestly, a couple of months back. But I didn't really get it. I didn't really get it. Because I stumbled on it. I stumbled on it, but I didn't really get it. That was what the Lord was trying to tell me. I remember going to the house of a dear man, and I preached to him. About a year or two. No, a year and some months ago. And so I preached to him. I mean, I didn't share the story where I laid hands on him. And he had issue with his legs. And when I laid hands on him, you could hear the bones literally crackling. Yes. And he got up and he started walking. So when that happened, he said something. He said that, I can even use his house for church meetings. Yes, he told me that. He said, you can use this place. I have my son here. I have my, somebody I'm staying with also here. It's not a son. Somebody I'm staying with. You can use the place. I said, you can use the place. I keep on wondering. Okay. At that time, we had not had this venue. You can use the place. Use the place. So it's quite recently. I was like, oh Lord. That was what you were trying to tell me. That the church could literally start on running sales. And it could be run entirely on the sales system. I'm telling you. So, this missionary who was sent to another country started looking for a venue and he was not getting a venue. So, you know what he did? He went to a house and he preached. And they gave their lives to the Lord or they received the gospel. And then they allowed him to use their porch. So he would go there, go preach to the family. Then, of course, remember the cell gathers for fellowship, for the study of God's word, for the expression of love among the people, and for most importantly, evangelism. Right? So they gathered. Then he went to another place and preached. And the house was open. And he went to another place and he preached. And the house was open. So he was not getting a venue. For 6 months, he had looked for a venue all over the city. He was not getting a venue. But after the 6 month, he got a venue. And guess what? He started the church running on over 65 people. So it means that he had been running the sales system in the homes. Then when he now had a venue, he just brought the people together. I think that's really powerful. Rather, hey, we don't have a venue. Have you been praying for a venue? Yes, we've been praying for a venue. We don't have venue. I'm waiting for venue. I'm waiting for venue. Do you go for evangelism? No. Nobody you are teaching. No. God will send them around. So, that was a powerful illustration, I believe. So, he has his church fully running, 65 people and over. Real life story. I'm not talking about a story that has not happened. Real life story. So, you can see that the church can function strongly on churches. Right? Great. So, That's another way, actually, getting it done. Now, if we were going to start abruptly with sales, it means that we're going to break the ministry into sales all of a sudden. So let's say we are 12 people. You see, we can have 2 cell groups or 3 groups of 4. You see? Then let's say maybe I'm the pastor. Then I handle them myself. So there's a day in the week where I meet 4 people at La Paz. Then another day, I have another 4 at Pukwasi on Tuesday. But don't forget, all of these activities are supposed to be done. None of them are supposed to be left out. Fellowship, the sharing of God's word, right? Most prominently, what? Evangelism. Because that's how the sales are going to grow. Where are you going to get sell people from? Where are you going to get members from? Are you going to say, that's not what you should do. You're not going to tell somebody that, oh, leave your church and join my cell. That's a thief. Join my cell. Oh, please join my cell. If not, pastor is going to ask, why is my cell not growing? Please join my cell. Okay, so you're going to have to preach. Some of you like cheap things, eh? You're going to have to preach. One time I remember, they had sent me to one soul like that, and I pretty met a soul actually. This was a soul that really needed Jesus Christ. You know, there are some souls who need Jesus Christ. Then you see that there are some souls, they really, you have to get them born again today. If not, there's something. So it's a soul that really needs to be born again today. If not, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. So I came back, I was so burdened, God. I said, Lord, how am I going to talk to this person? Because I had already spoken to the person. And the person was like very far away. I said, Lord, I was bedding the whole night. I was bedding. I was lying. I remember I was just lying on the floor and I was so bedding. I said, Lord, how are we going to get to these people? How are we going to get to these people? How are we going to get to these people? So I remember making a few calls, trying to get somebody who was close to the person so that I could, yes, speak to the person, but I could also get somebody supervising. Because, you know, there are some souls, when you catch them, you don't even leave them 2 minutes. You leave them 2 minutes, they've already, they are not the same again. So you have to be on them, like, be on them, be on them, be on them. So I said, this one, it takes the grace of God. So I started to stay on it. And then I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? Of course, because I've already preached to the person. And so I was just there, and I more like got into a short trance. And I saw a handwriting boldly on the wall. It was so bold. On the wall, it's almost like letters were spinning, and it gets to another point and it stays, and it spins, and it gets to another point and it stays. So while I watched that scene, I saw a bold writing and it said, I am with you. That was all I saw. Now listen to me, I'm trying to tell you something. How your cell groups are going to grow is because the Lord is with you. Are you listening? The Lord is with you. You're not going to go alone. He's with you, like He's with you. In whatever it is you're doing. Remember, it's His method, right? It's His method. So don't be afraid. Say, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Or say it more boldly, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, take your seats. So, it usually has a membership of 6 to 15. Divide into two groups, divide into three groups. So we see, we already have a cell because we are more than even three. But there are reasons why they are called area fellowships. Because it's not supposed to be so hectic. Such that you have to now travel from Kaswa to Damfa to have a meeting. It's just something you could walk to, or maybe some 2 cities 50 persons or 3 cities 50 persons fair. Yes, you know, the 3 cities fair, they are, I feel like it's not too good at all. Just here and here you collect 3 cities. Just here and here. So it's actually more cost effective to go long distances paying than to go short. So you pay. That's just by the way. So we're going to be running this church on sales. Now the first characteristic of a sale is that it usually has a membership of between 6 and what? 15 people. Right? Once we exceed 15, we break. And then we start new sales again. Number two, the initial members are members of the particular church. That is the mother church. And through soul winning, people are added to the cells. So when we are starting, the second characteristic is that the initial members are going to be members of the particular church. And then more are added to the cells by what? Evangelism. Or soul winning. So when starting cells, it's your initial members from your mother church that you divide and that you launch out. And then others are won and added to the cells and subsequently to the church. Do we get the second characteristic of cell? It's not, we are not telling you to go and start a church. Before you realize one senior man has, or senior woman has bought speakers. Say, me person atmosphere in a chick. I she in the realm of the spirit. That's not what we're asking you to do. Are you listening? So that leads us to the third point. It's not a generalized Christian fellowship. If I get you, oh boy. It's not a generalized Christian fellowship. I said it's not a word. Great. Instead of you have Bible study, you fellowship with the people, you love and you care for them, you evangelize to other people and get more people into the cell so you can teach them some more at homes and obviously convey them to the temple when we gather as a church. Are you listening? Go and be having prayer. What do you call it? Prayer charge. Say, Pastor, I think my cell, for our Tuesday meetings, we need banners. In your room, you don't need banners. Do you need banners in your room? You don't need banners. So it's not a generalized fellowship. Are you listening? Yeah. So you're going to be teaching God's word, caring for the people, loving the people. And obviously, that's going to be the responsibility of the cell leader. You're supposed to evangelize. So the cells are going to grow via what? Evangelism. And we ought to make sure that there's a structure to the running of ourselves. As we move forward, I'll give you all of these specific details. Because an hour is okay. For a cell meeting, a good cell meeting, just 1 hour is okay. You don't need to have 3 hours. You might as well want to start a branch over there. Number four characteristics of a cell. The cell meetings are held on a particular day of the week as decided upon by the pastor. Now, that means that it's very important that there has to be a uniformity so that the members of that cell can show up. Members of that cell can show up. Members of that cell can show up. So, it has to be something that the pastor approves of. I'm going to give out 2 days as we go, for which every cell should run. Right? Then, based on other considerations, maybe the people, and maybe if we have a cell running on Thursday, our cell meeting is running either on Thursday and Saturday, There could be somebody who might have something relating to their job on that Thursday, and then another person is going to be free on Tuesday. Then another person sort of is like free on a Tuesday. So then the pastor now gives you the go ahead to say, okay, you guys are the only people who are going to run your cell services on Tuesday. Right? But aside that, majority of the cell groups are going to be running within certain days. Are you listening? And we said, what are we going to be doing in the cells? Number one, fellowship. Number two, prayer. Number three, Bible study. Number four, evangelism. Number five, love and care, right? That's all the cells are going to be running by. You know, sometimes you see that the cell meetings can start at maybe, let's say, 6 p.m. And then the meeting is actually starting at 8:15. That's a bad cell. And as a pastor, I'm going to be closing down cells, I believe. So there's something that's not happening there, the cell is closed. Join other cells who are running effectively. And I said, the church is going to run solely on the cell system. Are you listening? All right. Somebody said, okay, Saturdays. Okay, Saturdays are when you're going to have cell meetings. All right. Saturdays, what time? It means that you would have to meet, evangelize, then you gather the people and teach. Do you understand? So you go out for evangelism, then you gather them, then you teach them. It means that it looks like your leg on evangelism is gradually coming to a small diversion. Because some of you are probably going to have two cells. And you can have two cells. We're going to look at that as we go. Some are going to have five cells. Some are going to have 10 cells. Some can be in charge of 7 cells. So you see, I'm helping you to serve God. Don't you want to serve God? That's what I'm saying. 10 cells. 15 cells. A cell pastor. That's what they are called. We're going to look at that. So, the meetings are going to be held on a particular day of the week as decided upon by the pastor. Do not have anything running in there without the pastor's knowledge. Are you listening? Including the days that you have chosen to run the cells. On a few findings, or a few trying to read about it, it was said that cells mostly are effective on Saturdays. Because normally on the weekdays, people are busy with work, they get home late, they're not able to. So Saturdays seem to be like a very functional day where the cells can meet, can launch out within the community, right? Get the people hearing the gospel, get them saved, then we mobilize, then you bring them to church. You see that? We're also going to look at the cell system and bathrooms. We're going to look at all of that. So everything is going to be clear. By the time we are done with all our conversations, we're going to have it very clear. Right? So, there are going to be days. Days. Where cell groups meet. Now you, the cell leader, you shouldn't change the day without your pastor's knowledge. Are you listening? Now, you've already done this, so don't be afraid. It's not anything. It's something you are doing. It's not what you are doing in discipleship. It's just that this one has a more, you know, structured module with a specific day where for your discipleship sessions, you meet online. But this time, we are moving to in-person. We want to do the work itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, we choose a day, the day that suits. And I think I'm naturally drawn to Thursdays and Saturdays. So I don't know, but I'm just naturally drawn to these days. Thursdays and Saturdays. Now, if for some reason you're not able to hold certain cell meetings on a particular day, don't cancel the cell meeting for the entire week. Find a day within the week and still have the cell meeting. Are you listening? Find a day and still have that cell meeting. What's happening on the next available day? Pastor, please, it rained. And maybe your cell meeting is on Wednesday. How about Thursday? Or it's raining on Thursday too. Okay, Friday. Okay, it's been raining for 2 days. How about Saturday? 3 days it's been raining. Okay, Sunday I'll see you in church. So, the cell services are supposed to run in this manner. So don't cancel meetings. The days are supposed to be specific. You know, sometimes even cell leaders, even when your heart is not in the work and you have a cell meeting on Thursday, you might even forget that today is Thursday. Then you wake up on Friday and say, hey. And that's why the cell leaders must be very responsible people. Now we must maintain this, right? Because anything that is not repetitive and is not consistent will not do well. You don't have to do it repeatedly. It's not going to do well. If we had jobs that you just say, how many weeks are you working? You say, oh, just whenever I want to come to work. They'll say, whenever you want to come to work. Okay, let's have another interviewer. He's not a very serious person. So I'm going to be there every day, Monday to Friday. I'm going to be there every day. Right? Is understanding coming as we go? Okay. Number five. Characteristics of a cell. The cell is a ministry of the mother church and not an individual church on its own. It means that it's an offshoot of the mother church. Starting a cell is not an opportunity for you to start another mother church in that area. No, that's not what you are sent to do. When you are sent to do that, we will tell you that's what we are sending you to do. Do you understand? So this cell is a small group that belongs to the mother church. So you are sent from a parent church to start a cell in an area. The cell is part of the church. And that's why it has to run the way it ought to run. Are you listening? Seed characteristic of cell. The cell meets in homes that are provided either by members themselves or by people in the communities. You know that many times I told you that the Lord is going to be with you. Right? So you preach to somebody and the person will say, oh, I think you should even come and be preaching to me. Say, oh, mommy, can I bring 4 of the people? So, oh, yeah, my house is open. My house is open. Every time, just come. Say, mommy, we'll be meeting on Thursday. Oh, yes, I'll be here to pray. I'll be here with you to pray. So the cell ministry will have people randomly giving out their spaces or you opening up that space. Take your seats. It means that if your house is your house is not clean or your room is not clean, it's going to be dangerous to have that as a cell, you know. So from today, go and start cleaning your rooms. And because we also have campuses, we're also going to be intentional about the campus fellowships. That's what they are now going to be called, right? Yes. So you could have a cell at Liman Hall. You could have a cell at Ivandi. You could have a cell at TF, right? And normally, you would find one person who would say, oh, we can use my room. Or we can use a space that I know is available. When I wanted to start CFI, me, I was not looking at any expensive module. When we're going to get to UDS, I don't know if you were in that meeting where we used the kitchen center. Were you in that meeting? You were not there. We found a kitchen center at UDS in one of the hostels. It was dirty. It was just a small place. We got in there, cleaned the place quickly, set up the place quickly, brought chairs, then we put them there. Then we had meetings. Yes. So you can consider these in the campuses, the rooms, the eatery points, the Some have like reading rooms that are not even used as frequently as possible. You can have meetings there. 45 minutes, 1 hour, you're done. Learn teaching. If everybody brings chairs from their rooms, it'll work. Bring a chair. Just bring a chair from your room. It'll work. You have 6 people, you teach them. 10 people, you teach them. 15 people, you teach them. Right? Right. So, you can see that people are going to open their homes or their spaces, whatever space it is, or the people, I mean, yes, people in the communities, people in the campuses, people that we have, wherever your cell is, are going to open themselves to it. Or you are going to say, okay, maybe I have a place where we can use, right? We can have this place used for cell meetings, and then we give off ourselves to these meetings. See Acts 16. What I'm teaching you is very biblical. I told you that it's that pattern that we see consistent with the church. Acts 16, verses number 14. Now, Christ family, I think you should know this woman very well. When I read it, I felt like it's going to be good for a prayer point. So I just copied this. And a certain woman, Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. Some of you say Thyatira. It's all the same, isn't it now? Thyatira, all of them. Which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in the household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That's an example of somebody opening their home to the use of a meeting, which is a cell. So Lydia, which was a seller of purple, some of you think it's seller of color purple. Seller of color purple. She sells color purple. So in Acts 16, you see that Lydia, immediately after she was converted, that's after Paul spoke to her, she suddenly attended to the things of Paul, to the words of Paul. And then she constrained them like, hey, so come to my house. My house is open. come home. Come and have meetings at my house. Yeah. Come and have meetings in my house. My house is open. Oh, Paul, would you want to use my place is free now. So come and use my house. So you have people who open up their homes to you. Yeah. Remember, the Lord has asked us to do this. He's going to provide the means anyway, anyhow. Right? Pray in the Spirit concerning this. That more centers are going to be open. More centers are going to be open.
Malusta brante legediva shata, palia sande grezete palagata, la bababa jada babakapa, la bababa jata kapalabada, manto lobo zobrande kepa, jata talaba rada balagata, jantele braziki talaba, mando lobo zotopo radaba, palinta tiza zevekepa, la bajanta ragata. Ligita pataya, ligita kataya, ligita kataya. Jantele brazu se fregatia, palaba janta raga palabata, rapataba janta radaba. More homes are open, more homes are open, more homes are open, more homes are open, more homes are open. More homes are open. Jeffrey Tekepa. Mandolobo Jodekiva la Bataya. La da da baba. La baba bakata. La baba bakapa. Brantu Zevekepa. Let the diva shanta la ba. Ayada da 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 da. La bra shanta la ba. Red red red. La bra la bra la bra shanta ba. Talia santo red red. Talia talia santa. More houses. More homes are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More homes are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More homes are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More homes are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open. More houses are open, are open, are open, are open, are open. Shakra tapala katela prezeke ke prezeke vele pradaba Ziki tapara daba shete ke pa. In Jesus' name we pray. Take your seats. So, the cell is a ministry of the church and not an individual church on its own. So it means that starting a cell is not an opportunity for the cell leader to start a satellite church. Is that okay? It's not an opportunity for the leader to start a satellite church. We are not sending you to start a branch church. We are sending you to start a cell, right? It's that basic functional unit of the entire structured church. Now let's look at the seventh one. Do you have the seventh point? What do you have? What's the sixth one you have? Okay. Can you take it again like you are a church together? One, two, go. Oh, that means some people are not writing. It's mixed. Take it. The cell meets in homes. Write that. That's the sixth one. The cell meets in homes that are provided either by members themselves or by people in the communities. The cell meets in homes that are provided either by the members themselves or by the people in the communities. So that's when I thought to help you see that your meeting spaces are going to be either you or they're going to be provided for by people who you have preached to. Do you understand? So I want you to know that whatever it is we are starting, there are going to be interesting challenges. But we are ready to solve the challenges. Do you understand? So, oh, Pastor, we thought it would just be... No, there are going to be challenges. But I want you to be ready for them, right? And you must also have that... You see, if we are a church, let me say something. We must grow over a period of time. And to grow, there is that flexibility that is needed. Do you know that I can come back and say, oh, let's handle it this way instead. And you must be able to like switch. Because maybe you are not getting it the way I want you to get it. So probably we come and we switch it again to another mode. Not differently, but how things are going to run. There's a way we adjust to make sure that it works. Still within the cell, but there's quite some adjustments. And every church should be able to adjust. That's why sometimes I adjust the services. I'm using that the services, they are not, I mean,
I mean, structurally, I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost moving. You see, last week we had a different thing that you never saw. That's how it's supposed to be. We should be flexible. We should be able to accept new things and build on new things. Don't just be saying that if they've taught us that's all, we are using this one forever. What if we come and we say we are changing it, still under the same structure, but we want to add some modulations to whatever we put? You must be ready to change it. Right? Yes. So some of you will have to be massaging yourselves, because there could be some challenges here and there that we have to solve. So anybody who is not flexible cannot grow. Yeah. You see, businesses that have always been like that for 20 years, they don't experience so much growth. Like, the business is just like that. The same spot, the same place, the same space. The counter your father used, that's the one you have come to inherit, you are also using. I had a very good friend who inherited a business from his dad. And I said, don't keep it like that. You must change it. You must make sure it grows better. Make sure it grows. It becomes much of what it wasn't before. How can you have a business the same space? It's just the same space, 22 years. Ooh. The chair will break. You go and bring a welder to weld it. Because it's an inherited chair. The chair is broken and you bring a welder to weld the chair. The same shelf since 1994. Oh no. I mean, let's change it. They bring computers. Then maybe your grandmother is the one running. It's that computer where they're in Pekrao. She doesn't want the computers. Because the computers, she has to, but she knows the previous way. She takes the money, she quells it, she puts it somewhere, she can raise one banner, put it there, sit on it, so that nobody steals the money from her. So, I met somebody, and I asked the person, I want to pay with mobile money. Do you? So, Minji mobile money. So I thought to ask the person that in today's era, at least learn how to check. Like, learn how to check if the money has been sent to you. I mean, I'll collect. So I now told her that, I've searched for everywhere, I'm not getting more money. She said, that was how the last time somebody sent her money, said she had sent her money, but the person didn't. And I'm saying, these are the challenges. You've been tipped once does not mean you'll be tipped every time. You just need to open your eyes the next time. So that they will not send you a message that is not true. You know. So, as a church, we must be able to have that flexibility. You must change. When we say we are introducing something, let's all jump on it as though it was already there. Don't be difficult to change. So you see, many of the times, you see, even in Ghana here, if they are trying to bring something, how I saw that change was really difficult is how, Ghanaians received a certain information, something that is not working. They are saying they are bringing something that would work. I've not mentioned any parties there. I've not mentioned anything they are implementing. It will work. They say, no, I won't do. But that's what will help. Do you see that? Yeah. You can see a ministry plateau for 20 years. The same members. Yeah. The same people. 20 years. Then we now say, let's introduce cell system. Say, no. Yeah, pay. It's up. No. So we are a church that can change. Are you listening? Yeah. Let's be flexible. Flexible. We must be a flexible church. I believe Jesus wants a flexible bride. Yeah. If you are moving, you are flexible. Who wants a rigid bride? be flexible. Can change. As for you, is the food your mother gave you, that's only the food you know how to prepare. But your probably your beloved or husband wants another kind of a food. Some of you don't know how to pound fufu, but the one you're going to like fufu. Say you don't have bones to stir. Bones to pound. I met somebody, he said he can eat fufu every day for the rest of his life. By the time you are 10 years, the woman already has muscles. Must be flexible. Flexible. So a church that's not flexible. No. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. We introduce ourselves and say, oh, it's discipleship we know. Me, I don't know discipleship. Huh? So we must be flexible. Do you see that? Yeah, flexible. I don't like salad. So your whole family shouldn't eat salad because of you. Take your seats. Your whole family shouldn't eat salad because you don't like salad. My mom at a point in time she didn't like salt. At all, so she prepares the meal. Then at a point in time she didn't like pepper. Yes. So we normally the first taste gives you the headlines. So, I said, hey. You don't eat salt, so your children don't eat salt. You don't eat pepper, so your children don't eat pepper. You don't drink milk, so there's no milk. We are looking for milk in the house, there's no milk. And she doesn't have milk. No. So she won't buy milk. Then she buys pumpkin. I said, what? Today, how many of us have eaten pumpkin? Oh, only one person. The whole house. Then imagine eating that as a house. Some of you prefer cocoyam fufu. Huh? In this world, how can you? Number 7, take your seats. So, cell meetings are regular. I'm just talking about flexibility as a church. Are you listening? Be flexible. Huh? Be flexible. Be flexible. Flexible. The man to be flexible. It's not everything that you want that the house will eat every time. Also learn how to eat what we want to eat. Flexible. I had a very wild grandfather. Inflexible grandfather. He was wild. Everybody feared him to the core. Hey. But you see, by the time they become like granddads, they calm down. They slow down. Very nice people. When it comes to the hall. I was young, but I used to see those scenes. Like they are 5. Like you just see that someone will just be sitting there. The person just sways out. Like it's not loud. Just like you are there. You don't feel like you are there. You just go out quiet. Like you just do something like this. You are just out of the room. You know, somebody say, you know, maybe if there's a last one there,
then everybody squeezes out quietly. First one, second one, third, then the last one. Well, the last ones, they don't really fear anyone. So then maybe the fourth one is going to say, ah, are you going? Say, I'm just going to drink water. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. He's not going to drink water. Because no but. Or maybe you're a very hard parent, inflexible dad. You know, you're watching something and it's like they are showing a certain scene. And then sitting down like this, huh? That's me, someone pick the phone like you're so. We've all been caught in those instances, eh? And sometimes your dad will be watching to see whether you are watching. Watching. You have a phone, you're just doing like you're not seeing. It's not true. Anyway, so be flexible. As a church, we have to be flexible. Don't say that. What pastor is teaching is very new, and today must we implement it or must we do it? No, I want us to be flexible. Number 7, cell meetings are regular. It's going to be our last point, because if we get into another teaching, we're going to have to stay for an hour more. So I'm going to stop here. Cell meetings are what? Regular. Right? You're going to have them regularly. Okay? Has to be done on regular basis. So your meetings don't just have to be Monday. Next 2 weeks, Monday. Next week, Monday. Then another next 2 weeks. You don't meet. Like, your meetings are just not scheduled. They are not structured. No. It's regular. Are you listening? So these are the characteristics of cell meetings. It has to be regular. Do we have 7? We have 7. Has to be regular. You know, anything not done regularly, you're not going to be blessed by it. Right? Yeah. Anything not done regularly. You see, lift up your eyes and look at me. For prayer to be actually powerful, it has to be regular. If you like, you pray today, tomorrow don't pray. Tomorrow night you don't pray. Tomorrow you don't pray. Then you now come and pray. Then you don't pray. It's not powerful. So I'm going to encourage every one of you, at least have, you know, an hour or even 30 minutes that you keep regular. There's a power that is unleashed in that, far more than just waking up and praying 3 hours in a day. And then you don't pray again. And then you pray the next time again. Do you understand? Those are simple consecrations. There's power in consecrations. So everything, for you to see the power of it functioning as it should, it has to be regular. Something you do regularly. You keep at it regularly. So that's why someone says, I prayed. I prayed. It's just 2 days of prayer, actually. I didn't see anything. But you couldn't regularly stay on it. So for everything to be powerful, it has to be regular. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be regular. It has to be regular. It has to be consistent. For you to actually begin to, you know God's word and study it and understand it, there ought to be a regularity to your study. It has to be regular. If not, you say that, this word of God thing, I started it, but 2 days, 3 days, and I stopped. So anything that is regular is what? Powerful. That's why we're told to pray without ceasing. That word ceasing is not actually seasons. No, it's actually without halting. There's a consistency to it. While you are on your way, you are on it. You are at your home, you are praying. And there are different types of prayer. So it just has to be that there's a continuous nature that prayer must have for it to be powerful. So for us to have a powerful prayer, like that yields powerful results, there ought to be a regularity. It's supposed to be regular, consistent. You're on it. Anything that's consistent will eventually become powerful and great. It doesn't matter how long it takes. That's why you probably might say, there's maybe, let me say, a minister. You say, maybe me, I'm more powerful than this minister. But this minister has more following and more hearing. It's just because he's been more consistent than you are. Over the decades, he's been there, keeping at it the same old thing. Do you understand? So for us to have that power coming from the cell meetings and producing that effect, there ought to be a regular nature of the cells. Week in, week out. Week in, week out. Every week, there ought to be that. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So don't have a cell. And you know, many times, it's when people are bringing their reports. That's when you see that the cell has not been running for 3 weeks now. Some of you send your reports to me, and you don't have discipleship meetings. Then you don't have it, and then you send it the day you have. So what happens to the other days? What happens to the other days? You leave the discipleship dormant for like 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, you want to go to it again. How is it going to do well? Your reports, you leave 2 weeks, then you give reports 1 week. You leave another 2 weeks, then you give reports 1 week. Then you give reports 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. Then you leave it another 3 weeks. You show up with another report. Again, how is that group going to grow? So there has to be something that is regular. For us to see the power of this group that we're talking about, it has to be regular. Do you understand what I'm saying? Continues. You're on it. The 2 will become 3. The 3 will become 5. The 5 will suddenly become 8. Then you'll be on it. Then it will become 12. Then 15. Then the 15 probably just jump multiplies. Maybe 45 in a short period of time. Yeah. See how the church has started. Maybe it starts with 10. 15. 15 and 18. 18 and then 35. Then 35, 40. 41, 42, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. Then again over a period, 55. Then 55, 51, 49. When you come to 42, you say, "Hey Lord, what is happening?" Then it will jump again, 79. That's how it grows. Any church that is healthy, you'll see that steady growth. It's going to be growing as you go. You see that the numbers will be increasing. Then, against the time, the numbers are so much that it begins to take giant increases. Like, because the numbers are more, because 5,000, if 5,000 people are going to be much more effective, and everybody is going to be raising 2 people, you're going to multiply that 5,000 into 10,000 or probably even 15,000.
Right? So you don't have to give up. That's what I'm saying. That you see, while I was, I think Bishop saved me from this. He saved me from small numbers. Because there were some camps I saw him go to, and the people were just 20. And he would teach them for 3 days, 4 days. Then in the next 15 years, when you look at that place, you are amazed. The ministers are afraid of small numbers. But you don't know that the small numbers are going to bring in the greater numbers. 10 people, 15 people, 10 other people going to do the work. So I stopped fearing small numbers. I told you to stop fearing small numbers. Huh? Don't say that, oh, they are just three. No, they are not just three. Do you understand what? They are not just three. They are not just three. Don't be afraid of small numbers. Me, I stopped fearing small numbers. Me, I stopped, honestly, if I go to anywhere. And I even realized, I'm telling you what I've realized about my ministry. I'm even more effective in smaller numbers. Yes. So don't be afraid of small numbers. Don't be afraid of small numbers. Are you listening to me? Don't be afraid. Be afraid of small numbers. 2, 3, 5, 10. Don't be afraid of those things. Because those things are going to grow to become mighty. It's just like the story of Maurice Sorello, who a minister had boarded a hall, paid for a hall, furnished the place, filled the place with speakers for people to gather for crusade. And on the day of the crusade, only Maurice Sorello was in the building. Only one. Yeah, only one. If you're a pastor and you have a crusade and only one person comes, I'm sure it will be tagged as a major failure. Only one. Only Maurice Sorello was in the crusade. Small. He was not even an adult. He was a small boy. Like a teen. So the man of God just said, okay, I think today has finally happened. what I was afraid of has finally happened. So he put a microphone down. He now had interactions with a small boy. That small boy became Maurice Sorello. He preached in over 70 countries. That's even many years ago, actually. What I'm giving you is not even current. Like, as in his current number of countries he preached in. So you might think that, oh, that thing is very small. Many of you will be amazed to know that the people you brought up will become very instrumental. Yes. They'll become, like, instrumentally key. You will even be amazed that, this person... And at that point in time, maybe you just have that one person in that group, just one or two. And they become very instrumental and very key. It happens. It happens. It happens. It happens. The person you are teaching, that one person, maybe it's the person that's going to, you know, even bring in what we have been praying for as a church. That one person. Yeah. So do not be afraid of joyfully caring for the people and teaching. Take your seats and loving them and caring for them and following up on them. I shared with you a story of a boy. I don't think I've shared this before. Maybe I have. I went to Central University one time to preach. And when I went to preach, there was a guy there. I'm sure maybe they will know him. He didn't have an arm. He was a Muslim. He didn't have an arm. He had one arm, but he didn't have an arm. And I remember I went to preach there. He was still a young boy.
and I got them saved. Those times I used to go to Central Lyceum. Years later, maybe, I think even like 15 years. No, I think like 8 years later. I'm there one time and I have somebody send me a message. And the message was quite a long message. And the long and short was that he was now remembering of how he first got born again when I came to the campus there to preach. And he's coming from a Muslim family. And now he's actively involved in ministry. Actively. Heavily involved in ministry. I'll show you. Heavily involved. He's gathering the senior high schools in the north. Yeah, a Muslim. And he said, I got born again when you came to school. I got born again. So, I remember when I got there, I was wondering how I was going to preach to them. So, I got water. I got sand. I spoke to my pastor. I said, I want to illustrate something to these children. So, you find me preaching. And I was trying to show them how that water, the spirit, sand, the devil is dirty, is bad. You have the devil, not Jesus. You are dirty. You are bad. You know, all of those illustrations. Just things I just used. And he's so much. Look, he quoted me the scripture I used in that teaching. I was amazed. So I was saved in that meeting. So when you see him, he doesn't have an arm. So he preaches with one hand like this. But for some funny reason, I always thought, like, okay, like, what was the fruit of my going there? Yeah, I thought about it. I thought maybe I was just young and excited. So it's good to go. So, but I was always looking out. What were the fruits of that meeting? This brings us to what I want to say lastly, or what I am saying. Take your seats and meditate on this. Do not despise any kind of a meeting. Are you listening? Are you going to do that? You're not going to despise any kind of a meeting. Two people, you're going to be as full of joy as 15. But don't be lazy and say that, oh, it's just Buster. Just two people that are coming. No, it's just one person. But you don't go for evangelism. That one you are being lazy. Yeah. So while you are doing your evangelisms, you're doing your teachings, you're doing your follow-ups, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, don't be worried about numbers. Are you listening? Like I said, I'm greatly encouraged when I see meetings of 20 and 15. Remember, it's God's module as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's God's module. So, let's not despise what God is doing. Are you listening? If God says we can meet in the houses, we can meet in the houses. We can meet in the homes. Right? We can have those small, small numbers and still be excited about them. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is that He's going to ask you as well what you did with that 7. He's going to ask you, what did you do with the 7 people? Some of you will have 2 cells. What did you do with the 30? 2 cells of maybe 10, 10, 10. What did you do with it? Did you just look down on it? Or you actually gave yourself to doing what he wants you to do? I see you giving yourself to it fully. And your areas are never going to remain the same. Right? Areas are never going to remain the same. Your areas are never going to remain the same. Your areas are never going to remain the same. That campus will not remain the same. That campus will not remain the same. I said that campus will not remain the same. That campus will not remain the same. That area will not remain the same. Now let me make this clear. From the beginning of our teaching, I caused us to see how that the cell ministries is God's method. Are you listening? It's not some other. I hope you really understand what I'm saying. It's not something that we're trying to implement. No, that's how it's supposed to be. Okay? That's how it's supposed to be. Is that churches are going to be found meeting in the homes. And they are also going to be found meeting in the temple, or in the synagogue. Go ahead. And say, Lord, I give my heart to this cause. 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 I'm telling you, this is what God is doing in this church. God is doing this in this church. You want to know what he's doing? This is what he's doing. Kiyatapa, ratapa, lakata, lakata, lakata. Lord, I give my heart.